Glad you're here. Appreciate you coming. We're in the book of Judges. And we are in chapter 10. Read a few verses beginning in verse 1 of chapter 10 of the book of Judges. And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir.
And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years, and he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair, unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Canaan. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and have also served Balaam." And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me again and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which you've chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and camped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and the princes of Gilead said one to another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Chapter 11, verse 1. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of an harlot, and Gilead was his father, begat Jephthah. And he's the man they look to for their deliverance. Thus the reading of the Word of God. Judges chapter 10 tells us that Tola arose to defend Israel against Abimelech. And Jair, who judged Israel. And these two judges judged for a period of 23 years and 22 years. And so that's 45 years that they had a closeness to God and were away from their idolatry and were delivered from the rulers over them like Abimelech. And they had some peace and comfort in those years. They could grow their crops and benefit from them and raise their animals and benefit from them when they didn't have these other nations there stealing these things away from them and putting them in tribute. These two judges are referred to by theologians as minor judges. like the minor prophet books. They are smaller. There's not as much told about them. They don't cover as long a period of time or pages of scripture, and so they're referred to as minor judges. But only God knows the minor aspect of those that serve the Lord. Those who faithfully serve Him, God will reward, and God knows everything that they do. We have very little about their lives that cover a 23-year period and a 22-year period, but God knows every day about everything that took place, and He will reward them according to their works. He rewards the faithful when the time comes, and we learn many things that we didn't know when the day God rewards His faithful one. By the wording that Tola arose to defend or to save Israel from the results of Abimelech after 23 years, that Abimelech had appointed himself king and did all the things that he did. And next came Jair, who had 30 sons, and they rode on these donkeys, and they ruled over 30 cities. It is believed their father must have been very wealthy, but that he left little spiritual influence in the lives of the people that he judged, because as soon as he was dead, they turned again to idolatry. And they began to worship multiple idols, stronger than they ever had before after Jair had died. And so we want to have influence in the lives of our people. We want the church to have an influence that goes beyond us. We want this church to be here long after we're gone, and for our children and our grandchildren to be able to come to church here and get saved and learn the Bible. And we want the influence of the Lord to be here on behalf of our people long after we're gone. And we don't just want to have it today for us. We want it to continue for many years. Now, these nations that bordered Israel had many false gods. They worshiped Baal and Ashtaroth, and they were what are called polytheistic. It means they worshiped many deities. And these were man-made gods, and the Bible has something to say about them in Psalm 135. I'd ask you to look there and mark this passage so that you can remember it and go back and look at it sometime when you're thinking about idolatry and people putting things ahead of the Lord, making idols out of things, whether it's money or material things. And in chapter 135 and verse 15, the scripture says, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." So think about that for just a moment. When Pompeii was destroyed by Mount Vesuvius, later excavations found a multitude of people who had gone to their idol and fallen down before him that were covered over with larvae from the volcanic eruption. That idol couldn't help them. They could speak, and that idol had ears, but it couldn't hear anything. And they could pray to that idol, but that idol couldn't hear, and that idol couldn't see their need, and that idol had hands that couldn't do anything about their problems. But the God of heaven, the creator of all the earth, has the power to help his people when they call upon him. The idolatry is condemned in scripture from the very earliest of days, that Israel was not to make graven images nor bow down to them. And in these Canaanite nations, they had female goddesses and male gods that they used prostitutes in the worship of. And so the allure of the sexual aspect was another problem for Israel in the temptation to participate in idolatry. They were guilty of great sexual sins from their gods of fertility. They believed the god El was the god of lightning, and they believed him to be their creator. Astarte was the female deity of fertility. And a number of nations had very similar gods to these, but they called them by different names depending upon their language. And Philistines had a god that was a fish god. And you'll remember they stole the ark of the Lord, where they carried the ark on the poles. And that's where the mercy seat went on top of it with the angelic cherubim. And they offered the blood sacrifice to God for their sins. And inside was a pot of manna and the commandments. And God went with the ark. And when they carried the ark, they believed the presence of God was there. And so it was mighty in battle to take the ark. Well, Israel had sinned so bad, they took the ark, and the Philistines took the ark from them. And you'll remember Eli was a priest in that day, and they came back and told him the ark of the Lord had been captured. And he was a fat man. He fell over backwards and broke his neck out of shock that the ark of the Lord had been taken captive. And they took it and put it in their temple of Dagon, the fish god. And the next morning, the fish god had fell down on its face before the ark of the Lord. And so they set it back up. And then when they went back the next day, it had fallen over and it had broken apart. All of its extremities had broken off. And that false god could not stand up in the same place with the ark of the Lord. And so this false gods that these people worship over and over and over, it had been proved to Israel that those gods had no power to help them. It was the allurement and the excitement of the sexual aspect and all that allured them to participate in these things. And many people worship things that they ought not. They put money ahead of God and buildings ahead of God and idols ahead of God and governments and women and all kind of things. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us about the judgment of God that came upon people for idolatry in the past. In Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now you read on in that chapter and at a later time, and you'll see that God turned them over to their sins and to be destroyed by their sin because they turned away from God. God revealed himself to man in those days, but men did not worship God. They turned away and they worshiped idols instead. So God punished man by giving them over to their sinful desires. Now Israel had been warned by Moses and by God's word not to be influenced by the worship of the people in the land where they were going, the land of Canaan that God had promised to Abraham and to all his descendants. And Israel with Joseph went down into Egypt. And then the 70 souls of Israel followed into Egypt with Joseph in a time of prosperity to sojourn. And they became servants to Egypt, and they lived there 430 years. But God had promised all the land of Canaan to Abraham, and the time came where he sent Moses to lead the people to go to that land that he had promised to give unto them. Now, all these 10 nations of people had taken up residency in that land, and understandably so, there were no street signs and markers that said this land belongs to Abraham, deeded by God, or anything like that for the people. They found good land and they took it over. But God sent Israel in to take the land back and to drive out these nations and not to intermingle with them and not to worship their false gods. But Israel continued over and over and over again to make the same mistakes. And lest we look down on them too hard, does not the church and do not we as Christians make some of the same mistakes over and over again? And when they got so severe in their going back to their sin, God didn't just immediately raise up a judge to deliver them as he had done in the past when they cried out to God in their adversity. Instead, God said to them, I delivered you, but you've chosen to go astray. And he said, you cry out to your false gods and see what they can do for you. And God put them under a little bit of time restraint to wait before he would deliver them. Israel had many warnings. In Judges 10:7, it reveals God was angry with Israel over their repeated idolatry. And anything we exalt before God, God will be angry about that. God allowed these pagan nations of Ammon and Philistines to rule over Israel for 18 years. And they began to cry unto the Lord for him to deliver them. And when men and women begin to forsake God and his church and turn to sinful ways, often they begin to reap as they've sown. And they begin to turn back to God looking for help to get out of the circumstance they've put themselves in and the trouble they're in because of their sin. Israel cried unto the Lord in chapter 10 and verse 10 of Judges. And God hardened himself toward them for a period of time. And then they began to demonstrate genuine repentance. It's one thing to cry out to God and say, get me out of my trouble, Lord. It's another thing to completely turn away from the sin that caused the trouble and for God to help in genuine repentance. And that's what Israel did. They showed genuine repentance. They said, Lord, we've sinned. We've done wrong. Do to us as you see fit. Only please deliver us. And they put away the false idols. They got prepared themselves to face punishment. They put the idols away from them. And they began to serve the Lord as they did in old time. Because they saw the cost that their sin had brought them. And the loss of fellowship with God. And how their sins had hidden God's face from them when they would pray and ask for God's help and God would not respond to them because their sin had separated between them and God. It was like a dark cloud over them in their prayer life. Man begins to think he can take care of himself until life begins to weigh upon him. Maybe it's his health. Maybe he gets revelations from the doctor. Maybe it's because of his life in alcohol that he has trouble with his liver, or he gets a DUI and maybe kills somebody on the highway and has to deal with the guilt of that, or a broken marriage, or the loss of reputation because of his sin. Maybe he comes down with cancer or heart trouble and he wants God to help him. And it's good to go to God and ask for help. But as we go to God and ask for help, let us turn away from our sins and not expect God to bless us while we continue living in our sinful condition. Israel rebelled against God, and now they're crying to the Lord, and God is not so quick to deliver them as he has done in the past. It reveals a sevenfold idolatry beginning in verse number 6 of all these false gods that they worship. Now, many people today are not following the Lord. They're not following God's word. They're following greed and lust and materialism and sexual sins. And characteristically, Paul wrote to Timothy, in the latter days, men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And there's a battle with that in our society today. Now remember, in Judges, there was no king in those days, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They had no authority that would turn them to God. And so each man would determine for himself right and wrong. I say to you that it's not for you and I to determine right and wrong. God's word has determined right and wrong. And we must humble ourselves and submit ourselves to the Lord, that His will be done and that we follow what He teaches. Now Israel understands God's anger, and they confess their sin. They declare God is just and righteous to punish them. They put away their idols, and then they begin to worship and serve the Lord. And they recognize the need for genuine repentance. Repentance is a word in the Bible. It's simply defined meaning a change of mind. To have a change of mind. We're in sin, and we see what sin is doing to us, and we change our mind about our sin, and so we turn away from our sin and turn to God. The result is turning away from wrong and turning to God, but the repentance is the change of mind. And when we have that change of mind, we can approach God and ask His forgiveness and cleansing. Scripture is clear for believers that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. To confess means to say the same. So if we'll say the same thing about sin that God says about it, then He will cleanse us of it. In other words, we can't make excuses for our sin. We can't blame other people for our sin. We got to own up to God and say, Lord, I sinned. I did wrong, and I'm sorry, and I want Your forgiveness. And He has promised, if we deal with Him in that way, to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. He is the God of mercy and compassion. He had mercy upon them here, and they cried unto Him, and He was moved by their problems that they were going through, their misery that they were suffering. God was grieved at that, and He began to help them and work for them. And remember, when Jesus looked out over the multitude in Jerusalem in His day, He said they were like sheep that were scattered without a shepherd, and He was moved with compassion over them. All the wrong they were in was a result of their sin, but Jesus still had mercy. He saw them as dealing with all of their problems because of their sins, and He had mercy on them, and He was moved with compassion toward them, and He preached the gospel to them and tried to save them and deliver them from what they were in. Now, Israel recognizes they need a champion to go out and lead them in battle to overthrow these enemies, and so they seek for a man, a champion who is a mighty man of valor. They promise that if they find this man who would lead them, that they will make him their ruler. They'll make him their leader. They'll follow him and make him their captain. And so they choose Jephthah, the Gileadite. Now, first of all, in your notes there, you see in number 8 that Jephthah, the Gileadite, is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the list of faith and those who did great things by faith. In Hebrews 11:32, Jephthah is mentioned along with these other mighty men who accomplished things. And he is exalted for his faith. But he was the son of an harlot, and his brethren, the sons of Gilead, did not want him to inherit with them, and so they cast him out. They shunned him. And so he went off on his own, living in a wilderness area in Gilead. And there were marauders in the land in that day. And he became a mighty man of war and valor by defending the communities against these marauders, is the belief of what it means by the description here of him. Not unlike David, who when Saul was running, he was running from Saul, he gained men with him who had been outcasts, and he developed himself an army, and he fought for Israel and fought for the people and defended them against the enemies. And Moses was the leader that God brought back after he had made some blunders with killing an Egyptian and fleeing lest Pharaoh kill him. And he went on the backside of the desert there and he met a family, and he defended that family from the men who would have harmed their daughter. And Moses married one of the daughters there of Jethro and lived there and became strong and mighty. And when the time was right, after 40 years, God appeared to him in the burning bush and told him, "Now you're ready. I want you to come and go back to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go and worship me in Canaan." So God puts people through circumstance to prepare them, to conform them to the image of Christ, to burn away the impurities of their life, to make them strong. And Jephthah had gotten strong in battle. He probably didn't know why, other than for his own benefit and for the benefit of those he loved. But what it was happening is God was allowing these things to happen in his life to make him a great leader of men who would be one who could deliver the nation in time of battle, in time of trouble. So in chapter 11, we see Jephthah. He is called the ninth judge. Over and over, Israel turned away from God. God allowed other nations to come in and rule over them and punish them, and they would turn back to God again. And he's the ninth judge that God raises up. In Hebrews 11:32, he's named in the same verse with Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. These men are mentioned there. And the writer says that time would fail us to tell of all the mighty deeds that these men and others did by faith in the name of the Lord. In faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, waxed valiant in fight, and turned armies of the aliens to flight. Now, this man was the son of Gilead. Gilead was a grandson of Manasseh. And his wife, or the woman he took up with, was a harlot. And she gave birth to a son. And this is Jephthah. And he became a mighty man of battle and war. His family had made him an outcast, so reluctantly he listened to their appeal to him to become their leader and defend them and fight for them. You'll remember how Joseph, his brothers had sold him into slavery down in Egypt. And Joseph was cast into prison unjustly. And Joseph was mistreated in many ways. But God was working it all for a plan that Joseph was taken out of prison and exalted to be the second ruler over all of Egypt, only under Pharaoh. And he delivered Egypt and he delivered Israel when they came down there to live with him and were given the land of Goshen. And all of this was a plan of God. Joseph's brothers came before him when their father died and they said, "Now Joseph will want to punish us for what we did to him." And they came to him and appealed to him. And Joseph said, "What you did to me, you did it for evil, but God meant it for good." Man, that's good stuff there. That's deep. A lot of what we go through, people might be doing something to us for evil, but God will mean it for good if you'll give it to him and let him use it, and it'll be a blessing to you down the road. His trials made him a great leader, and a great warrior. And unexpectedly, when Jephthah went before his enemies, instead of drawing his sword and start hacking, he made an appeal to negotiate with these enemy nations. And they said, well, you give us back all the land that Israel took from us, and we might make peace with you. And Jephthah said, well, first of all, these nations attacked Israel, and Israel defeated them, and to the victor belongs the spoil. And he said, beside that, Israel's been in charge of this land for 300 years now. And there's a statute of limitations here about taking back land that has been claimed. And it was our God that owned this land and gave it to the nation of Israel. And so they were not going to be able to make a negotiation on those terms. It's too late for the claim. And verse 29 of chapter 11 gives us the key to all this. The battle and the winning and everything. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow. You may already know about that vow he made, but we'll look at that at another time. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you for your faithfulness. Hope you stay safe in this uptick of COVID that's going on and this flu that's going around. And I hope you stay safe in the weather. If we do get snow, and even if we have to cancel Sunday service, it shouldn't affect your jobs and everything. You know, it'll probably be gone Monday by the time the weather heats up to 40-something degrees. You know, the snow will be gone. So we praise the Lord for that. But we'll, if you're on the email, you'll get an email Sunday to let you know. And we will call the TV stations and the radio stations. We've made sure our codes are working to call and let them know if we're canceling service or just canceling Sunday school. I've learned that you don't call up the TV and say we're canceling Sunday school, but we're going to have 11 o'clock service. Because all people will see is we're canceling, period, you know, and they won't see you're having 11 o'clock service. But we'll send out emails, and you can call the church, see if somebody's here. And if it's bad in the morning, we might cancel Sunday school, and we'll see if we can have 11 o'clock. If you can't get here, don't worry about it. We'll do live streaming, and you'll be able to watch it, and we'll have a service. Thank you again. God bless you. Father, bless these folks tonight for their faithfulness. Bless them in their protection and travel and with this disease going around and the sicknesses. And Lord, so many on our prayer list with great needs. We pray for them. We pray you'll stir us by the Spirit of God that we might serve you and accomplish something for you, and that you would help us to please you and accomplish your will in our families. So help us tonight, and we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.